Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Today, I welcome Orange County breast surgeon Dr. J.K. Harness. He's the co-founder of the website Breast Cancer Answers and co-author of the Breast Cancer Answers book. Thank you, Dr. Harness, for being on Impact OC.
Oh, Dawn, it's my privilege to be here with you. Thank you.
Dr. Harness, please define breast cancer.
Oh, yikes. Well, we're all familiar with the word cancer. Cancer means abnormal growth of cells that grow outside the normal mechanisms. You know, we need to explain this, Dawn. Cells are born, cells live, and then cells normally die. And then one of the things that happens in cancer is the cells don't die. And as they then reproduce themselves, they become a little more abnormal from the original normal cells. And then they can keep doing that in each what we call clonal population. And so it's a loss of normal growth cycles, if you will, birth, life, death. And it perpetuates themselves. And then the cancer cells, unfortunately, can start growing in places we don't want them to grow. We're here to talk about breast cancer because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And one of the things that people really need to realize is the cancer in the breast themselves is not going to kill anybody. It's the opportunity for those cancer cells to escape from the breast and go elsewhere. One of the ways I describe this is like opening the window and start throwing grass seed out the window. Where is the grass seed going to land? If it lands on hot concrete and dies, no problem. But if it lands in a fertile rose bed, then we've got problems. Does that make sense? In other words,
yes.
once a cancer becomes, and the term is called invasive, they start circulating cells around the body, and then they can settle out in vital organs, such as the lungs, the brain, the liver, elsewhere in the body. So we should think of cancer as normal cells growing abnormally. And one of the terms, frankly, for cancer cells has been immortal cells, meaning they could outlive the host because the normal mechanism that would cause them to die is lost. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So the reason that we treat it in the breast is so that we do not want it to scatter to other parts of the body, because the breast is like a receptor, a holding place for the cells.
Sure, and that's the whole theory behind screening. In other words, if we can find, in any screening, if we can, whether it's colon screening, prostate screening, breast screening, if we can find the cancer early and find it confined to the organ and then can treat it there locally, hopefully, we may not have to worry about cells that have already escaped or gone elsewhere in the body. But as we get into our discussion today, one of the hardest things for me to explain to patients is, doctor, let's just do the surgery and get rid of the cancer. Well, if it's an invasive cancer, that's true. But then we've known for 40 years now that with invasive breast cancers, you have to treat the whole body because of the circulating tumor cells that have typically been going on long before the patient knew that she had cancer.
What is invasive?
Invasive means that it's growing through. All right, so let's talk about the breast. The breast is made up of glandular tissue. There are lobules. When you were pregnant with your son and your breasts got engorged, you were making milk in the lobules. But then we have to have a way for the milk to get from the lobules to the outside, to the nipple. Those are called the ducts. So both the lobules and the ducts are lined by cells. They're called epithelial cells. And 85% of the time, the cancer is actually arising in the ductal cells. About 15% of the time, it's arising in the lobular cells. Once the cancer gets big enough to grow through the wall of the duct or the wall of the lobule, then it's voila, the cancer cells can now start circulating through the body. And let me just give one other caveat. When we talk about in situ breast cancer, or some people say in situ, but it's really in situ, that means the cancer is still confined inside the normal boundaries of, in this case, the breast. And the local treatment is all we need to do. But once it grows through the walls of the duct or lobule, then we know, and we've known for 40 years, you have to treat the whole body as well.
Talk about screening.
Well, it's really important. And women should start breast cancer screening at certainly by age 40, unless they have a very strong family history with a relative who had breast cancer, let's say, in their 40s. Then they would start perhaps 10 years earlier. And I know what the next question is going to be. You're going to say, hey, Dr. Harness, how often should women be screened? And one of the real difficulties we've got right now is that every organization out there has got its own ideas, from the American Cancer Society to the American Society of Breast Surgeons that I'm a member of, to you name the organization. The typical recommendation starting at age 40 is annually, and then once getting up to, into the patients well into their, let's say, their early 70s, probably every other year at that point. If you were my relative, I would have you having screening mammograms annually.
Explain the screening in terms of how you do it. We hear mammograms. Isn't that what you're talking about? Let's talk about that.
So let's talk about that. One of my tongue-in-cheek jokes is that mammograms were obviously invented by a man, right? The way they squeeze the breasts and cause pain and discomfort. It must have been a guy that did that, right? Right. I can see you smiling. Yeah, of course. So unfortunately, we learned years ago that that sort of compression of the breast tissue was really, really important to make the x-rays of the breast more accurate. There's lots of physics reasons why that's the case, okay? So that's the backbone, if you will, of screening. Now, you and I had a discussion about dense breasts before we went on air. And in women, women should know what their density score is. So when they have mammograms done, whether it's every year or every other year, I want people, I want women to be asking, what's my density score? Because if the density score is high, meaning there's more glandular tissue and less fat, then the recommendation is to do something in addition. That typical something in addition is ultrasound. Cancers, mammographically, are white. The normal breast tissue, the glandular breast tissue, is white. If you have white on white, it may be difficult to actually see the cancer unless they're making microcalcifications. The breast is made up of a skin envelope, the normal glandular tissue, which varies in density, surrounded by fat. The more fatty the breast is, fat on x-ray is black. So if cancer is white and fat is black, it's much easier to then to detect mammographically a cancer the more fatty the breast is. So the typical recommendation then is to do ultrasound, whole breast ultrasound, as a way of looking for cancers that are small but may not necessarily show up on the mammograms.
How will ultrasound find it?
Because cancers on ultrasound actually end up being black. Yeah, that's the, acoustically, that's the way they come out. Now, in some cases, we also recommend breast MRI examination of the breast as a screening technique that's generally reserved to patients who are known to be gene positive, the typical gene, the BRCA1 gene, the BRCA2 gene. What we do there for screening is 3D digital mammograms, including then breast MRI, is the most complete way of screening. And insurance will cover that, especially if we know that somebody is gene positive. Okay.
What about breast self-exam?
Do it. Now, we were also in a discussion that breast self-exams are not the end-all and be-all, but in my 36-plus years of focus on breast cancer, I've lost track of the number of cancers that women have found through their own self-palpation of the breast, or their partner may have actually found something. So, and those are lumps that are not to be ignored. Or if you have a bloody nipple discharge, that's not something to be ignored. Or if you raise your arm up and looking in a mirror and see an indentation in the breast, that's not to be ignored. Or if you see the heartbreak of eczema around the areola of the breast, again, these are all things that are not to be ignored that need to be seen and evaluated by a physician, particularly a breast surgeon physician, promptly.
Can you describe how breast cancer feels in terms of if someone catches it themselves?
Yeah, that's a good question. Typically, a cancer is firmer than the normal tissue. And, you know, often, and when you're doing a breast self-exam, you should lie down flat on a bed, bring your arm above your head so it flattens the breast out, and literally, carefully just run your fingers lightly around the breast. You should also do an inspection by looking in the mirror, face on as well as with the arm up, to see if there's any indentation in the breast. Many women say, oh, I don't examine my breast because it's so confusing. Well, it can be, but if you do it regularly, you'll get to know. Often the breast feels sort of like a gravel road. It's got bumps and crevices and whatever. You need to know and get to know what your bumps and crevices are like so that you can know when there's a change. In women who are still having active menstrual periods, clearly the breasts become more engorged just before the menstrual period. So examining your breasts just before your period, and then after you've completed your period, all that hormonal stimulation goes away. That's what you want to do at that point. Okay?
Now, do you recommend mammograms every year when you're the age of 40 and beyond? Is there a point that you can do it maybe once every few years?
Yeah, we're in huge debates right now. So Jay Harness is not going to sit here and give you the end-all and be-all. I like the older recommendations that we've had, which was annual screening. One of the reasons some agencies and insurance companies have changed the coverage for mammograms has been mammograms cost money. And if we can find cancers like they do in many countries in Europe by doing every other year mammograms, we're going to save money. What I would recommend is talk to your primary care physician, see what their national organization is currently recommending. Women in their 70s and 80s, in my view, should be having mammograms done every 2 years, certainly. I've lost track of the number of women I've taken care of in their late 70s and early 80s whose cancers were discovered by screening mammograms. So it is a process that can yield the diagnosis early on, no question about it.
What about symptoms? Can a person have any symptoms to determine, I think I might have breast cancer? I'm not talking about feeling. I'm just talking about symptoms.
Yeah. One of the misleading symptoms is a symptom of pain. Is pain in my breast breast cancer? And the answer to that question is greater than 90%+ of the time, the answer is no. Particularly in women who are actively having periods, there are fibrocystic changes of the breast that create small cysts and other things that clearly can be causing pain in the breast. An abnormal nipple discharge, particularly if it's just on one side, even a clear, spontaneous, I need to differentiate here, nipple discharge. Many nipple discharges are physiologic and completely normal. They typically impact both breasts. That makes sense? However, if you've got a disease process going on in one breast and you start to have a spontaneous discharge from one of the breasts, that needs to be evaluated. It can be from a benign process or it could be from a cancer. Particularly, interestingly, most bloody nipple discharges, unilateral, one side, are actually from a benign process of the breast, not cancer. But if you're, and the one thing I tell patients not to do is to be sitting around every month squeezing the breast like a tube of toothpaste, because if you do that enough, you're going to get a discharge out of the breast.
I want to point out you have the website breastcancersanswers.com, and you co-authored the book Breast Cancer Answers. Which came first?
Actually, the website came first, breastcanceranswers.com. It's a social media, all video site. I was co-founded by myself and Todd and Wendy Hartley over in Scottsdale. Here's the irony of all this. About a year or so after we launched breastcanceranswers.com, Wendy Hartley, and she's very public about this, I'm not breaking any HIPAA violation, Wendy was diagnosed with breast cancer. That was the ultimate irony. And she was in her early 40s, late 30s when this happened. And she's great today, all these years later. But that's one of the real ironies. And then the Breast Cancer Answers book, Your Guide to Emotional Reconstruction, came out, I think, about 4 years or more ago. And to the best of my knowledge, is the only book co-written by both a physician and a long-term breast cancer survivor. There's been plenty of books written by docs, plenty of books written by survivors, but to the best of my knowledge, Dawn, this is the only one co-written by both a physician and a survivor.
So if they go to breastcanceranswers.com, is that updated?
Yeah, we're a bit behind right now. We are a sponsored site for many years. When I last looked, we've had 12.6 million views of our videos. Most of our videos are still highly relevant, particularly for the newly diagnosed patient. And the Breast Cancer Answers book is really a guide when it comes to the journey of breast cancer. Once someone is frankly, any cancer, whether it's prostate cancer, colon cancer, whatever, you're really on a lifetime journey. And getting through the initial part of that journey is a big emphasis of the book, but also the long-term part of that journey is another emphasis of the book, okay?
So how can someone accept their predicament? Because you did say before we came to air that many people are in denial.
Yeah. I love that great line from Alcoholics Anonymous. Not that I'm an alcoholic or have had the need to attend one of their meetings, but it's a great line that I love. Denial is not a river in Egypt. And it's a great line because what drives a lot of denial when we feel something wrong with our breasts or have an abnormal cough or whatever it is fear. Oh my gosh, do I have, i.e. breast cancer, as an example. It's really interesting to me how powerful that feeling, that fear can be, which then leads, oh, it's denial, oh, it's nothing, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. So yeah, denial is a very, very powerful, powerful thing. And through my years of this, I've seen more advanced cancers than I would care to tell you about, that had we seen them earlier, things could have been better. A lot of that was because of denial.
And so you want people to get it checked and diagnosed early so that they could take care of it so that it won't lead
right
to the worst scenario.
Yeah. So if you took 1,000 patients whose cancers were found through screening mammograms, including ultrasound or whatever, and then if you then compared that to 1,000 people who showed up with a lump in the breast, which is called symptomatic of breast cancer, as you and I discussed, which group do you think does better? The answer is obvious. The screening cancers do much, much better and have a much higher cure rate. So screening is really important.
Thank you, Orange County breast surgeon Dr. J.K. Harness, for being on Impact OC. He's the co-founder of the website Breast Cancer Answers and co-author of the Breast Cancer Answers book. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.